Iam non est servus, sed filius, quod si filius et heres per Deum, so that he is no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today we celebrate a day of the Lord within the octave of Christmas. Dom Guéranger tells us that compared to the octave of other feasts, the octave of Christmas is a time in which our Lord is surrounded by his most faithful friends. Every day there is a commemoration of one or another saint. For this reason, a particular honor is given to the Sunday in the octave of Christmas. Let us take a close look at today's epistle to the Galatians, which reflects the particular honor that our Lord brought us by speaking of the purpose of his incarnation. This honor given to us comes with a demand for an appropriate response. In today's epistle, St. Paul reminds us that the time of the law is over and the time of grace is upon us. We are no longer slaves under the law, but we are free under grace. The law, as it was given to the chosen people, had a pedagogical value. In the time of the law, they were under the guardianship of God, exercised through the stewards appointed by him, his prophets, judges, and kings. As a fulfillment of this figure, our Lord himself was under the guardianship of Joseph and Mary in the Holy Family before he began his public mission. He came to us as a child in the incarnation to complete the figure of the Jewish people as children during the time of the law. The Apostle John tells us that our Lord was like us in all things but sin. In his youth, under the guardianship of Joseph and Mary, he made himself to be like us, subject to his holy parents on earth. He is the Lord of all things, but in making himself subject to them, he was no different from us at that age. In the epistle, St. Paul makes an analogy between servitude and freedom, and childhood and adulthood of an heir to a great inheritance. While a servant may always remain so to the family, the heir receives his freedom after becoming an adult. He is meant to be under guardianship only for a time. The Jewish people were under this guardianship while under the old law. But when our Lord came, it was their time to be set free if they acknowledged that he was their Messiah. However, they did not all recognize him. Some held on to the law by a rigidity of spirit, while others had a position of material wealth that they did not want to lose. Refusing to accept our Lord as the Messiah, they put him to death. Only those who observed the law, while recognizing the spiritual benefits of its teaching, could recognize the Messiah in Jesus. They knew that one day he would come and lead them to the promised land of his kingdom. It was they who became the first Christians. Even though they had lived in servitude, just like the others, while under the law, they were in fact children of the Father, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. When our Lord came, he too lived like his chosen people. But those who lived as children recognized him as the Messiah. When his appointed time had come, our Lord made himself known and fulfilled his mission. So too, when we are born, we are of the world, born with origin. Instituted the sacrament of baptism. Through this sacrament, we are no longer servants of God, but heirs of the kingdom promised to Abraham. It is through the sacrament of baptism that we receive the graces necessary to participate in the divine sonship of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is how we become heirs to the promises made to Abraham, our father in the faith, like the chosen people before us. In the time of the New Testament, in conferring the sacraments, the Church uses material things to convey grace to the soul through the merits our Lord acquired during his passion, death, and resurrection. Baptism, the first of the sacraments, gives us the gift of faith to see this truth through the eyes of our souls. With it, we receive hope, charity, other infused virtues, sanctifying grace, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We no longer remain children as though under the law, but we become adults under grace. By coming to us as a child, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Son of God was born under the law, taking upon himself human flesh like a servant of the law. When his period under guardianship was over, he fulfilled his mission and took his place as the Lord of all creation, opening the gates of heaven for us, thereby allowing us a share in his inheritance as adopted sons of his Father. God came to us as a child to make us spiritual adults. The incarnation of our Lord came to humanity at the fullness of time, when the world had known the profundity of its sin and the full extent of its infirmity. The consequences of original sin are the darkening of the intellect, the weakness of the will, and an increase in concupiscence. As a result of wallowing in sin, man was infirm on two counts. He no longer knew his own nature, and he no longer knew how to live a virtuous life. It was to counter both of these that God established his chosen people with a written moral code, complete with material sacrifices to be offered to himself, so that his people would learn about their own human nature and the possibility of their return to him. In the fullness of time, our Lord made himself subject to his own law, and he fulfilled it perfectly, all of its 613 commandments. St. Mark reports that it was said of him, "He has done all things well." Moreover, being the Son, he showed us the way out of servitude under the law by his passion, death, and resurrection on the cross. Through our baptism, we have been made adopted sons of God the Father, sharing in this inheritance of our Lord. Through our baptism, we have the promise of eternal life. By itself, the law would have kept us from getting worse, but it could not give us eternal life. The sacrament of baptism allows us to profit from this gift of our Lord, because through it we are conformed to Christ by participating in his passion and death. By the virtues, graces, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can grow into that full spiritual maturity that is God's desire for us. By growth in virtue, in cooperation with grace, man becomes fully alive. Man fully alive is the glory of God. In this week, we celebrated the feast of Saint Stephen, who was martyred for the faith as a young man, a deacon of the church. He is called the proto-martyr because he is the first of those to shed his blood for the true faith. The next day, we had the feast of Saint John, who made the sacrifice of his virginity. Chastity of soul and body brings us into a sacred nearness and intimacy with God, as shown by the beloved disciples, who was given the privilege to lay his head upon the Sacred Heart at the Last Supper. He wrote the gospel that tells us of the eternal birth of the Son from the Father, the mystery of the Word, which we read at the end of every Mass. In his epistles, he wrote that perfect love casts out fear. This love of God in his heart filled him with the courage and loyalty necessary to remain at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Mother when all the rest of the College of Apostles abandoned the Savior. With Saint Stephen and Saint John the Apostle, we have today the feast of the Holy Innocents, who bears witness to the newborn King. The Holy Innocents belong to the multitude of the elect who have his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. The devil could have conferred upon them no greater favor than that accomplished by his hatred of them. To live, to suffer, and to die for Christ and his cause is not a loss, but a privilege. Dear faithful, the incarnation of our Lord that we celebrate at Christmas is a great act of love of God for us, topped only by his passion, death, and resurrection. Our Lord came to us as a child so that we could find him approachable and not remain terrified of his divine majesty. St. Francis de Sales reminds us that it is God who takes care of us and leads us to our perfection. This miracle of our sanctification is entirely his work in us. Therefore, in our spiritual life, there is no place for the observance of these commandments by dull and dreary routine. We must return God's love to us by a wholehearted observation of the law that he has given us, as sons redeemed by the sacrifice of our Lord, rather than as slaves of the law who eventually reject his coming because they do not want any more than what they have here below. In these last days of the year, let us turn to this divine infant still in the manger with a spirit of thankfulness for all the blessings that he has brought to us, for this incomprehensible gift of our heavenly inheritance. Let us make our resolutions today to turn away from sin because it chokes and kills the life of the divine guest of our souls. Let us look at everything that we receive as part of God's divine providence. Let us thank God every day for all of his blessings, every one of them, pleasant and painful. Let us develop in our souls the spiritual muscle of gratitude so that we become spiritual athletes worthy of the great prize prepared for us in heaven. Let us cut away the fat of our sins and unhealthy attachments and avoid the languidity and lassitude of discouragement and despondency. Let us then turn to Our Lady with the spirit of gratitude. By the prophecy of Simeon, she knew that the son she held in her arms was condemned to death and that she was to suffer with him. By her humility, docility, and obedience, she could say the word fiat to the Archangel Gabriel, the messenger of the Lord. By her faithfulness to God and her steadfastness in his promises, she never withdrew this fiat. Our Lord created the world using this word fiat, and he used it again to recreate the world in his grace. Our Lady, Mother of God, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.